Welcome to Dream Path.
To Dream Path.
The time has come.
The time has come.
You can hear it all, should you choose to listen carefully.
Should you choose to listen
with the eyes of your soul.
With the eyes of your soul.
Our special guest, the ethereal soprano singing artist.
The ethereal soprano singing artist.
Amethyst.
Like to do is, you know, perhaps just start with how this began for you in terms of musical expression and why you chose to do this, and you know, how it came to this point in time where you're releasing a brand new album, which I'm sure you're excited about.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say that my musical journey actually started a long, long time ago. Not knowing exactly where it would take me, I think that I started to sing, you know, quite openly, you know, to my family when I was, you know, 6 or 7 years old. But then my parents went through a pretty extensive divorce and funds were tight. I kind of took a step back, and the only way I could express in my creativity was to join the choir at school. You know, I went to Catholic school, so all we sung about was, you know, religious songs and during Christmas time, and we really never did anything outside of that, really. And then life took its way with me. I moved to the States when I was 24 and started to work a lot, got caught up into, per se, the American way of life. Put this interest aside until maybe 3 years ago. I just could not forget about it anymore. I kept burning and very, very nagging me all the time, and I just decided to get online, since the internet is very easy or facilitate ways of reaching people. I've decided to join MySpace, and I've had a couple recordings that I have done on my home computer, and I just posted there, and they were all covers. It's against the policy. Anyways, I got some responses from producers. I just met my most important producer. His name is Gunnar Spardell, and he's from Germany, and he's the one who pretty much fueled all of the love and all of the interest that I had into singing, and he custom made all of the songs just for me, for the type of vocals that I do, and I couldn't be happier. So that's pretty much my music history so far. So
interesting that you grew up in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Montreal, but most of my childhood spent it on the south shore of Montreal, in the little city of Brossard, and I stayed there until I was 23 or 24, until I came to the States. So yes, I'm French Canadian.
And also, you mentioned growing up Catholic. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I grew up Catholic, sang in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, singing in the choir was a joy. I mean, just the fact of singing and singing with others did have a certain influence. It was just great to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I could actually, I think I could hit high C.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even do that.
Now, of course, my my voice changed.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I almost had to start to learn to sing all over again. It was kind of interesting. I really understand your burning desire to do what you're doing, but that you had to do this.
Well, it's also the fact that I don't want to knock anybody's favorite music or
mm-hmm.
anything like that, but
right.
I just think that the music industry these days is very denatured of feelings or realness to it. When a 14-year-old girl talk or sing about I'm never going to be able to love again, I just have a hard time understanding that, because she hasn't even lived half of her life. I mean, to me, it seems that a lot of the people that are emerging in the scene these days are just commercial products. They are not allowed freedom of expression. They are not allowed trying different things or collaboration with different artists. To bring the best out of them, I think that, you know, record labels and all of the restrictions they put on artists actually doesn't help, I think, in to be able to reach a different level of, you know, authenticity, or detach myself a lot from that since the early 2000s when that music came around, and that's all we heard about, and talking about hoes and bitches every day, kind of made me very bitter about that. And that was a good time for me to just distance myself from what was commercial at that time and refocus on my energy of, you know, on what makes me live and makes me vibrate as a person, and try to communicate that into the music and the lyrics that I write. Because I mostly do this music for myself. If other people can connect to it or can relate to it, I'm happy to share my experiences, and I'm sure a lot of people have went through what I'm singing about. It just makes me very happy to hear that the music that I make is somewhat reachable through other people. When you live in your life and then you grow as a person, it never stops. It's always a growing change, and it's a changing environment for everybody. I think that we're about to see a big change now in the music industry. I think people are starting to understand what it is to being alive. It's not being asleep trying to listen to music. I don't know. I don't know if it is for you the same as it is for me. When I listen to music, I want to feel. I don't want to be numb. I don't know.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And it's very true that the best thing to do when you're listening to music is the kind of music that really speaks to you. And, you know, that's what first attracted us to you. It was exactly that. We heard a version of the Ave Maria a number of months back, maybe a month and a half ago, and we can't even remember what show we heard it on. You have right in your MySpace site your thoughts on what you would really, how you would like to communicate with those who listen to your music.
Mm-hmm.
And to leave you speechless, breathless, and paralyzed by the world that I have created. And when I heard, and I'm sure it was true for Jared too, hearing Ave Maria sung, as I mentioned earlier today, you hear many versions, and it's a beautiful song. And when you did it, it became totally brand new, and the meaning and the feel of that song, it just, you know, communicated. We went right to the heart.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you. He's pointing at me. I would just like to say, Amethyst, I had a beautiful woman sing that at my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard your version of it, it took me right back to that time. Like, my husband passed away a year and a half after we were married.
And I'm sorry to hear.
No, it's quite all right. That was a long time ago, but it took me to that place, and, the emotion. And it was very,
well,
very healing.
Ave Maria is a very... My mother passed away 10 years ago. Her and I always sang that song when I was a little girl until my parents got divorced. So that song always had or occupied a very important place in my heart. Gunnar and I, last year, we actually worked on an mini Christmas CD that only had 4 or 5 songs on it. And I just sold it on my friends and on my space, and all of the proceeds will go to Alzheimer's Foundation. And then, you know, he knew how important the song was, and he says, well, if I write it for you, you can do it the way you want to. It was half part, you know, half of it was sung, and then half of it was done with ad-libs. That is another way that I like to communicate with the listener, just by doing ad-libs, because sometimes you don't even have to say words to really, you know, reach someone deep inside, because just the way that you sing something or the way that you express yourself can be heard just through simple syllables without having to have words to communicate your feelings. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to do it that way, because, you know, my mom would sing and I would do ad-libs or vice versa. It's just, it was a very personal piece, and I'm really, really pleased to hear that some people, actually, I have had a lot of people emailing me saying, you know, I just can't believe how you did this piece, beautiful. But, you know, in my recording session, I didn't even think about making it beautiful. I just wanted to make it, you know, something that I felt that when I would hear it, I would think about my mom. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that somehow you reached to that level, too, that you thought about another experience that happened in your life. And that's what, you know, I'm trying to do. I'm trying to live my feelings to the extreme and hoping that if people listen to it and they, you know, also, you know, relate to what I'm doing, then I've done my job. So
what you're saying and what you're... a lot of your communication actually happens over on your site, your MySpace site. So since we're on the radio, why don't you let everybody know what that is?
My MySpace page?
Yes.
It's www.myspace.com/ethereal soprano amethyst. ETHEREAL soprano and amethyst, AMETHYSTE. I don't really have any... a lot of people sometimes get put off at MySpace. I just could not love MySpace more. I'm a huge fan. I don't really spend a whole lot of time there chit-chatting. I'm there to mostly promote my music, but anybody that writes me, I answer back. Unfortunately, I do have, you know, over 300 plays a day, but most of the people that post on my comments always spam, so I always delete those. I found that probably a lot of exterior people listen to the page without really, really leaving any comments, so it's kind of nice to see that. For artists, everything is so expensive, you know, like promoters and you know, anything that's related to make music and make money is very, very hard when you're independent. And I use MySpace a lot just because I think it's a good vehicle to reach over millions of people, in all honesty, of all walks of life. I'm just really a big fan of the site. I'm very happy it's free, and it allows people to get in touch with otherwise music that they wouldn't even be able to hear, you know, in the music store or anything like that, or even on the radio.
You have a brand new CD coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Are songs like Wandering Flame and Secret Surrender, are those the songs that are going to be on there?
My new CD is actually finished at this moment. It's in post-production right now. I am just so hesitating with the artwork. My first CD was released 2 years ago and didn't have any pictures of myself on there. And I have been told it was a huge mistake because people can't really relate to someone that is not even on the cover. And to me, I just wanted to put that CD out there, just to be out there, because all I was talking was about my feelings. I didn't want to even people to see what I look like. But this year, I feel a bit more comfortable with my person and comfortable with showing the kind of, you know, what I look like. So I'm really hesitating on the cover part of that. So I'm still working on it.
Actually, you make very good use of it. It has your personality, and also the pictures that you have put on there are beautifully representative of who you are and express quite a bit as well. So that's very interesting that you were shy about doing that, because all of those things and the pictures themselves are very well done. Did you have a photographer do them or some?
No, I did them all myself.
Well, that's what we did.
Save some money. Hire yourself to take pictures.
Well, you know, that's exactly what we did. We had to borrow somebody's camera to do it. Because we thought we want to get some pictures up on the site, and we had a ball doing it.
Oh, it's fun, because you can do it when you feel like it, when you feel good about yourself, and you don't have to go at a certain time or at a studio time. So I think it's great. You know, all of the MySpace proportion of the profile, I try to represent a little bit more of, you know, who I am as a person without, I want people to be able to listen to the music and get an idea of who I am as a person. I don't like to just throw it out there and just look at me as a picture as well, you know what I mean? I just like to be a whole package. I don't want to give more on one and not enough of the other.
Right.
It's a very fragile line that you have to constantly check yourself over, because I think in the music industry these days, it's either too focused on looks and not enough on the music. And I want the opposite. I want to be focused on the music and not too much on what I look like.
Well, you know, let me say this, that I think the pictures beautifully reflect your music. You know, I've had a chance to look over your site over the last few weeks, because we had a bit of difficulty getting in contact before this. And so I just kept on checking in, and you would have different pictures and, of course, the music. And I thought they were all a beautiful blend, and each time it said something slightly new, you know, for the day, whatever it might be, because you would change the picture. You know, there's certain light coming from it, so I think it works very well.
Thank you very much. I try to stay true to the person that I am inside. I'm very shy. I'm a closet singer. I really don't perform live, and I'm a very much of a hermit in a certain way, that I'd never really go to studios. I have my studio in my home. When I work on a song, if I feel like it at 3 o'clock in the morning, I will get up and do it. I don't like to be told you have to feel a certain way at a certain time, and here you go, studio time. I just don't like that.
Yes.
So being an independent artist has also enabled me to stay true to the person that I am. And, you know, like, I think that my MySpace page and what is in my player and the pictures and the wording that is on there is really reflective of, you know, the whole package that I'm trying to, you know, show people or whoever wants to listen to, I guess. So...
No, what I'll do, we're going to take a little break right now.
And now a word from our loving sponsor, Creo Monday. Creo Monday, a unique brand that is going to rock this planet, utilizing the frequencies in positive words on the inside of clothing. Creo Monday really can help you create your own universe and tap into the law of attraction. Like attracts like at www.creomonday.com. Creo Monday clothes literally embrace the body with positive, affirmative feeling and action words in languages from around the world. Creo Monday is dedicated to sharing a positive, loving message of hope, changing the way people think about themselves one body at a time. It is part of the very essence of Creo Monday, creating a loving, compassionate, socially responsible entity that will be recognized throughout the world. Creo Monday. Go visit them soon.
Well, we're joined here today by someone quite special who's listening to our show today, just like you are. And her name is Margaret Hawthorne Jones. She's promised to visit us, and it's so good to have you here with us.
Well, thank you, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I was listening to your show, and it was really, really good. I love your show. Your name is...
Dennis Joseph Gestad, and we're listening to a beautiful songstress.
You must be British, then.
Well, actually, I am, you know. My mother was very British.
I could tell the three-name thing, you know.
Oh, really?
Just like mine, Hawthorne Jones.
Oh, yeah? Of course, Margaret Hawthorne Jones.
Yes. You know, call me Maggie, by the
Maggie,
way.
Maggie.
Call me Maggie.
Maggie, you know, this is a thrilling time. This Amethyst is a beautiful...
Amethyst,
beautiful songstress.
Oh, no, hold on. I get goosebumps when I hear her singing. You know, her voice is so pure and sweet.
Yes.
She's, she's so sweet.
You know, it's...
Doesn't she give you goosebumps?
She does, indeed. And you know, it's funny to watch you bouncing
angelic.
Up.
Angelic! Angelic is what I say. You know, she's an angel. When I listen to her in my little room with my fireplace going,
oh, yes.
I felt like I was in heaven. Ave Maria. You know, I used to sing a little in my childhood.
Oh, really?
Yes. Would you like to hear
it? Oh, that, how delightful.
Of course. No competition, of course.
No, not at all.
Ave Maria.
Lovely.
Gloria plena.
We will now get back to our regular programming and Amethyst, and we thank Margaret Hawthorne Jones for joining us. So here we get. Thank you. Please, yes, just turn it down, and away we go. Thank you. My goodness.
Your pleasure.
Dennis, how could you let her do that? We can't put that on the air.
Sure we can. And I'm going to. I mean, I already have.
Do you want to just step forward into time for 1 second?
I didn't do it.
Okay, we seem to have lost our connection with the radio station. And... while we are waiting for the boys to bring us back on the air, maybe I could do a sharing with you, and I could tell you something. I've become an investigative reporter. You have to do these things in this world now to really understand where is the truth and where lies the untruth. And recently I heard that Dream Path was going to be doing a workshop on channeling dead comics. Now, that seemed like an absolutely ridiculous theme for anybody to bring to the forefront. However, I have listened to a recording that was done, I believe, March 1st of this year between Dream Path and BBS Radio, and I can truly say that You do not have to run this recording through reverse speech. It tells you the truth through emotion. And I challenge anyone to listen to this recording and to come to a conclusion otherwise. So, we will be listening to this recording, and the way we can monitor the response is if you believe that this is an untampered version of a conversation between DreamPath and BBS Radio, then you will vote for Ron Paul. If you think it is tampered, you will vote for Abomination and McCain Fry. And if you are undecided, you will vote for Hillary, as she has not been able to make any decisions this week. This may be a trend. We will have to observe her in the upcoming months before the election. So, now we will play the recording, and I have already given you instruction on how to handle what you believe to be the truth. Thank you.
We're going to start a course channeling dead comics.
Channeling dead comics.
Yeah.
Good one.
It's going to be a new course that we're offering here at DreamPath, and you're the first to know.
That's funny. Channeling dead comics.
We just thought you should be the first to know.
Oh, hurt me. You know, I might even provide the teleclass.
It appears to be that we are back on the air. This is Ludmila signing out, and we will resume with the conversation that DreamPath is having with our wonderful guest, Amethyst.
And once that happens, then the whole of what you do will emerge. But I think, well, any one of these will draw us in, because Amazing Grace drew us in. And it's Amazing Grace that has brought us together.
It wasn't Amazing Grace, it was Ave Maria.
Ay, caramba!
Ave Maria, yeah. okay.
Ay, caramba!
I wanted to get your opinion, your feel. What did you think of Margaret Hawthorne Jones?
You said, I'm sorry, Margaret who?
The lady we just were talking to. Oh, you didn't hear her? Oh, well, it's just as well, because her version of Ave Maria wasn't nearly as good as yours. So let's just get back to what we were doing, shall we?
Okay.
And we're going to listen to one of the songs that now, you wrote some of the music, right?
No, I'm not a writer. I'm a singer. I actually, my producer, Gunnar Spardell, mostly writes everything. And I also work with other artists around the world, actually. Right now I'm working with someone from Australia, and we use the internet to transfer files. So it's pretty interesting to be able to do that overseas. Mm-hmm. I can write some music, but I'm not set up on my computer to do that. I am not a writer. I'm mostly, I write lyrics, and actually I sing them, and that's pretty much all I do.
I think the reason I feel that you've written the songs is the way that you perform them, as if they're totally your own.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you give it a certain touch that you know makes you. you communicate with a number of different individuals and bring it together in the form that you have right now. And I find that really interesting. What is that process like? If you could talk about that a bit.
Well, I'm going to share something very personal. Well, Gunnar is actually, him and I are involved together in a long-distance relationship. And he just writes music. It comes to him in different ways or form. He would just, I don't know, sit in the park and look up and be in awe of, you know, whatever is going around like now and at that time. And he would start to get a melody in his mind, and he would go home and then work on it and send me songs. And, you know, I think it's just because him and I are so close in the working relationship that I know how he thinks, and I know how he writes that because I know him as a person. Mm-hmm. And he says that every time he composes a song, he hears my vocals in his mind, and he just knows how to write the music for it.
Yeah.
So I think it's because we work so well together that everything kind of works or is very, very tight together in the way that it happens, just because we know each other so well. You know, sometimes he writes a piece of music, I don't even need to ask him what he was thinking at that time. I just know. Mm. And like Tender Abandon, the song that he wrote for me, and he sent it to me, and I was just like, you don't even need to explain. I know exactly what you're thinking. And, you know, after when the product is completed, I would say, is that what you were thinking about? And he said, yep. It's like we know each other so well that, you know, through the music, it's just very transparent. And I think that it's beautiful in its way because it's very personal. And all of the music pieces that we have written, that he has written and I have sang on, that we made together, is really every single piece tells the story of what him and I lived together at a certain point, or, you know, how we have felt about a certain thing at a certain time. It's very much a diary of our lives together. So the music to me makes sense, and, you know, when we work together, it's very, you know, homogenic. It's very easy to read through. It's very clear and transparent.
have failed. If I move, I might forget. Do I have everything you need inside of me? In my head, I can taste all you said. As long as you shine high in the night, I will turn to to stay. That loving feeling is like the sunshine on my skin. That loving feeling will show the way.
That's a beautiful relationship. Now, let me just backtrack here to see if I'm understanding this correctly. Have you never personally met this individual?
Oh, yeah, I've met him. I've met him many times.
Okay.
We've been together for 3 years. I mean, he comes here when he can from, you know, when he has breaks and his studies, he comes here, and I go see him when I can. It's just very hard when you're, you know, in two different parts of the world, and music keeps us connected. But now we have seen each other many times.
Okay.
But we're trying to change that so we can be together forever. So it's a long process, but it's getting there.
When you're talking about that communication between each other, it must be, it is one of a kind. One complements the other, so much so that it's that the listener can just dive into the music without, you know, thinking about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there for you. So it really, really works. I'm hoping that what you're doing now, you'll be able to expand on that as an independent artist and reach more and more people. Just before we were getting on the phone with you, we were playing a few of the songs, and I think we started with Till the End. Yeah, give us a little story on that, if you could.
Well, Till the End is actually a song that this very talented composer from Australia, you know, contacted me. His name is Steven Michal Javish, and he's, you know, the world over there is very different. They're still into a lot of dance music and trance music, and he's trying to make it into the film industry as a composer, and he's trying to get himself out of that. The piece is really just about how someone met someone, and suddenly, you know, they break up, and they just, I guess he was just doing a, not really a begging for her to come back. He was just trying to say, you know, even though we are experiencing some hard time, you're always with me. You know, we'll be together until the end, no matter what happens. And that's what the song is about.
How romantic.
The lyrics are very sweet,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a song that really has no structure. It doesn't have a chorus. It doesn't have a refrain. It doesn't have, you know what I mean? It doesn't really follow a normal chord structure for any music that, you know, you would hear in pop songs.
Right.
That's what is so beautiful about ambient music. You can really do what you want, and in any shape and form, you know, to communicate your feelings. You know, I mean, this song represents all that it should not be done when you write a song. You know, like there's no progression really. There's only a progression in the mind of the person that wrote it. And you can make your own impression of it too by listening to it. So
I love it this way. I love it this way. I really do. Structure is fine. You know, there are a lot of musicians out there that do. I mean, they work only with a certain structure, which is fine, and a lot of people like it. I find it very interesting when an artist comes along, moves more on intuitive lines of music without that structure, and yet it does have a place. It creates an environment all of its own.
I agree.
Yeah, and so that's what we're getting. Now, let's... Tender Abandon is the next one that I see here.
Mm-hmm.
And Tender Abandon. Ooh, nice title.
It's such a beautiful song. I'm a huge fan of minor chord.
Ah, yes.
I don't know. There's nothing more in my music that I love to express than confusion, pain, and agony, and misery. But not really. It's mostly I'm trying to get those feelings out so actually I can live a happy life. Tender Abandon is mostly... The funny thing about that song is if you're listening to the words, it's not English, it's not Italian, it's not German. It's not French. It's nothing. I call them dream ad-libs. When Gunnar sent me the song, I listened to it many times in the instrumental, and I just felt like, you know, when you wrote the song, it was a very personal song, and there's not really any word that can be attached to it other than just a mixture of, you know, how I felt inside at that time that I was listening to it. So what I did is I sat on my computer, and I played the song, and I started to sing random words that came to my mind, a mixture of French, English, or whatever that came in my head.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just translated into the feelings I actually felt at that time. So I call them dream ad-libs, where I kind of stand into... you know, reality and into my head and my own soul when I'm trying to express the feelings that I'm feeling when I'm hearing the song. And I know it's very sad because a lot of people, they connect themselves with a lyrics that has been written or, you know, a certain melody. To me, I love to express myself through different ways. It doesn't have to be just a defined thing with words. I like to do it either with ad-libs or actually dream ad-libs. And that song, Tender Abandon, is all about that. I was trying to express myself in a different language, you know, that people probably can't understand, but to me makes a whole lot of sense. So that's what it's about.
Pass and tear, leave
I call it the universal language.
Yeah, I mean, the music is the universal language where people can actually interpret it any different way. I mean, when someone listens to a song that is actually has vague lyrics, you will make your own story to what it is because of what you lived in your life. Even though me, I'm not doing it that way because I felt a certain way, I just think that's what the beauty is. It's where you can, you know, connect to it with your own life and your own experience and make it yourself your own.
When you're actually singing the song on the recording, do you do a number of different takes? Does it sometimes just like one take and that's it? What happens in the recording process? Because it sounds like, you know, the music's there and you just flow right into it. Is this, and I don't want to give your secrets away or anything.
You're gonna
like
take
that.
Away all my secrets.
No. Well, I don't. I just realized when I asked the question.
on the pieces that I did, dream ad libs or just ad libs, a lot of the times Gunnar will write me. But sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he doesn't. He will write me a general vocal line for me to follow. That's what he had in his head. Mm-hmm. And I would write lyrics to that or change it a little bit. It's a long process, per se. With Tender Bandit, I actually recorded the song in 1 hour. It was so easy just because he gave me freedom to do whatever I wanted to do. And at that time, I just wasn't a place where the feeling came out right. So what I do is I record the whole song, and then I take it bits by bits, and I try to see if I'm happy with it. If not, then I retake it, certain parts of the song, until I'm happy with it, and I feel that I have communicated what I was trying to do or express at that time.
Yeah.
And some songs that I work for other composers, I don't sometimes always connect with them right away. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I connect with it at the end of the recording session, 8 hours later. Like, oh, I understand now what I was supposed to do. and sometimes it just comes really easy, and it just depends. Mm. It varies all the time. Everybody has different days, and we have good and bad ones.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, my vocals are not always the best, and I just say, okay, today I'm not recording, or, you know, it can sometimes take 2 or 3 days. So
until it actually feels right, and when you actually hear it back, what you felt and what you hear are one and the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's get to Wandering Flame. This is
Oh my God, yeah. Wandering Flame is like when you wrote this song, I listened to it one time and I started crying. I was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful song I've ever heard. The boy never ceases to amaze me. He just comes out with these things. I'm like, wow, where the heck did you come up with this? That song just blew my socks off. Wandering Flame is really the story of, you know, it's like finally someone that found a home within its own heart. You just wander throughout your life wondering what you should do and who you are as a person when all the answers are really right inside of you. You just need to look at it and, you know, observe it and accept it. There's something you don't like, you can't change, but Wandering Flame is really about that, you know, that your home is within yourself. And then, of course, I didn't really want to put any words onto that song. I just did ad-libs on that. The melody is just so beautiful, and the ad-libs are very floating, and just takes you away, I think, to the place of innocence inside where you're like, I feel good now, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what the song was about.
Oh, beautiful song, and it speaks to so many individuals who are listening right now on BBS Radio, because there's always that search that's going on, and constantly we are being reminded that it's right there, right here, within our own hearts, and we just need to open to that consciousness within ourselves. And there's another song called Secret Surrender.
Oh, gosh. This song actually was composed by another artist from Germany. His name is Stefan Krempitz. He's very talented, too. He contacted me a while back, and I don't know, for some reason, a lot of people in Germany are extremely talented. I don't know why. They make good cars and also make good music. Secret Surrender actually started with no title, just like as a project, where he says, you know, what could you do something with them, with it, and that's another song where I did Dream Ad Libs on. The song really talks about, you know, again, it's really, I don't like to say it out loud and very, you know, right into your face, but it talks about sensuality and sex. It's about, you know, the story of a woman that finally, you know, even though she went through a lot of, you know, hard times in her life, found the person that she wants to be with, and finally decided to actually surrender herself to the love and then to, you know, the relationship that she's living. In a secretly and to her heart and her mind, she has decided to leave all the barriers and then just show her true being vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know, to the other person secretly without really making a big deal out of it. So that's what the song is about.
Beautiful, beautiful. A wonderful mixture of songs. And then there's the next one I see here is I Remember.
I remember, actually, it was so strange. I don't want to sound like I'm not really caring or anything like that, but, you know, it's September 11, mm-hmm. you know, it's a Remembrance Day with what happened, you know, at the Twin Towers and everything, and it's something that, you know, nobody will be able to forget. Mm-hmm. I posted this song, you know, a couple of days before 9/11 last year. I mean, it doesn't have a whole lot of play now, but the first one that I posted on was a couple of days before September 11. It's been since remastered and, you know, retouched and everything. Not knowing exactly, you know, like, I knew September was coming, but I didn't make the actual connection between the song and the day that was coming. The song, it doesn't really talk about, you know, what happened on September 11. It really talks about someone that comes to the end of their life, and they remember all of the beautiful things that they have experienced, and they remember there's always someone in your life that is the pivot. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you have lived all your life, and then all of a sudden you meet someone, and that person just becomes this beautiful thing that makes everything bloom into your world. Like, the walls are colorful, and everything takes a new dimension. And that's what the song talks about. Like, at the end of her or his or her life, the person remembers that exact person that has changed their life, and they will always remember. It's beyond death. It's beyond life. It's beyond everything. And that's what the song is all about. But then in connection with 9/11, I think it can be connected, but in my mind, I didn't make it that way. Mm-hmm. That day, I had over 35,000 plays on my space page. People flooded my inbox with comments saying, thank you for doing this beautiful song. And I felt really touched because I'm like, oh, my God, it was not the first connection to it, but everybody actually connected to a different way.
Yes.
And I think that's what music is so beautiful, because it doesn't have a certain, you know, gender or a certain ethnicity. It just reaches out everybody that is willing to listen. And at that day, it really reminded me that, you know, music is there to help people heal somehow. So,
but it sure did. 35,000.
Yes. And then the day after, it went back to 300. So I was like, wow, I felt important for one day. So that was my 5 minutes of fame, my 24-hour of fame.
Thank you.
lost in thoughts, in silence, this magic place, neither here nor there, I remember midnight love.
Well, I'm surprised more people didn't come back for more in different ways, you know, having heard that. But I'm sure they will. Now, after your I Remember is Far Away From You.
Yeah, Far Away From You is really, I mean, it's a song, you know, that talks about long-distance relationship. And, you know, that just, you know, that says that even though there's distance between two people, you know, everything is never forever. You'll always return, you know, in different shape or form to where you feel secure. So that's what it talks about. There's not really a whole lot to say. It's pretty clear what it says.
Yeah.
You know, and every time that Gunnar and I leave each other, we go through tremendous pain. It's very, very painful to live that way, just because you never really know when you'll see each other again. And as we know, the price of gas and everything, plane tickets aren't cheap. So it just, you know, the song is actually a reminder of
that we have to stay strong, even though sometimes pain is always there on the corner to make you feel a little bit less than what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's been very awkward wearing these headphones. I was feeling...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm more comfortable. Yeah, we'll have to get together again, Amethyst. I've been wearing headphones, and everything was so amplified, I was afraid to speak.
Now, we've talked about your music. In the last 3 years, you've really come out. You've really, took that step out and are communicating with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can tell us just a little process about that. What happened in your life?
What was the big kick?
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been quite a different life before and after, as it were. I mean, you're still the same person, but at the same time, in essence, you're born again to who you really are through your music.
Well, I was going through a very painful relationship ending. Discovered all my life that actually I have never really listened to what I wanted to do or all my inner wants. You know, I've always ignored them to the detriment of making someone else's happy. And it kept nagging and nagging and nagging. And I said, I really just have to start singing. Otherwise, I'm going to go crazy and I want to break something. So, I mean, it was quite easy. The funny thing is, one time, actually, that day that happened, I got together with some friends, and we kind of drank a little bit too much wine, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. We were outside in the middle of a parking lot, and I start singing really loud, and this guy opened his window. He said, I really like your voice, but don't you think it's kind of late? And I was like, alrighty then, I'm going to go back inside. And then I realized at that time, I was like, well, you know, I really like to sing. And if he took the time to wake up to tell me he liked my voice, but to shut up very kindly, that pretty much figured out that I could probably get back to it and I should be fine. And, you know, by just doing that at that time, I felt really good. And because I expressed, you know, how I felt inside, and I felt like a lot of pain kind of went away just for 5 minutes. So I said, well, if I can take it a little bit further and do a little bit more and express how I feel, then it will be a good way for me to, you know, express my feelings as an outlet, you know, to self-growth. And that's the reason why I went back to doing it. And actually, I don't think that it wanted me to stop. I just kind of ignored it for so long that it came back right in my face and say, well, you know, you can't do this anymore. You really have to express yourself and, you know, be the person that you can be, not the person that, you know, you should be for someone else. Just be you and then just embrace that and individuality and just be who you want to be and be the person that you are, and you know, everything will be fine. And that's why I've been doing this ever since.
So the freedom to express yourself in music and then actually recording that music and meeting various individuals like Gunnar. What about that process? Did things suddenly open up for you, or is it a bit of a little thing here, a little thing there, and then it opened up? How did that work out?
Well, it was a little struggling at first because, first of all, I'm not a trained vocalist. I've never taken classes. I've never went to, like, a vocal teacher says, you do this, and you do these skills, and you know, I've never really done that because I always thought that, well, first of all, I didn't have the money to do it at that time. And I just wanted to be able to sing naturally. I didn't want to be told, you know, how to sing, you know, operatically or, you know, I don't know. I have a very different kind of vocals. I'm a soubrette. I have almost a 4-octave range, but I sing very light. I don't have a whole lot of power in my chords. So I sound like an idiot trying to do pop songs. It just doesn't work for me. So I've been in many competition online, you know, singing competition, and they always told me, you know, I mean, you have a beautiful voice, but, you know, please don't sing pop songs. You know? I'm like, okay. So I just, I just started to, you know, sing some ballads, and, you know, I said, you know, I just put it out there. I said to myself, you know, and life has always, you know, taken care of me somehow. I've always had this
inner knowledge of if something is meant to be, it will happen. And I was very confident that I will come across another talented person and we'll be able to work something together. I mean, Gunnar and I have been like a long road, because you should have heard the first collaborations we did together. It's so funny. I mean, it didn't sound like it is now. I mean, it's just because as we do it and you do more, you learn more about yourself and learn about the other person you're working with, and you know what works and what doesn't. The process is always changing because technology changes, your feeling changes. So I guess that the process of finding myself through music has been just a matter of experiences, you know, that I have lived in my life and what is available to me to transcend that into a song or some lyrics or the way I sing. So, yeah, to make it short.
Well, my belief has always been that nothing can shove you into a new level of consciousness faster than the voice.
the voice is a very intimate musical instrument. Your vocals vibrate, your vocal cords vibrate through the feelings you're feeling. Your voice doesn't sound the same when you cry, doesn't sound the same after you laughed. You know, it just changes all the time. I really think it's the most intimate representation of, you know, your soul at a very particular moment. So I cherish that.
Many different ways. And, you know, that's, I think that's what we're trying to communicate on DreamPath, that people can do that in so many different ways.
That's true.
And whatever that path is, and usually it's some form of artistic path. What I'd like to say to you, Amethyst, is that thank you for staying true to yourself and having the courage to open yourself up and share that spark, that light within yourself as you express it. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners on this beautiful day?
On this beautiful night. I just have to say that people that are actually trying to, you know, get proficient into the music industry is to follow, you know, your heart and what you really want to do, not what others are telling you to do. Story of the you know, the two dogs that walk together. One actually, you know, is just a dog that's a stray dog that's looking for food all the time in a garbage can. And then the other dog is the very well-groomed one, you know, that belongs to a house and has a family. And then his friend was hungry, and then he said, well, why don't you come to my house? There's plenty of food, you know, there's plenty of you know, stuff for you to feed on. And the dog says, well, that sounds like a good idea. So he follows, you know, the other dog, and then all of a sudden he looks at his friend and he said, you know, I always meant to ask you this, what is that thing around your neck? And then the dog says, oh, that's a collar. He says, well, what is that for? He says, well, I mean, my owners put a chain on that, and they tell me what to do and where to go. The dog says, never mind. There's no way that I want one of these things around my neck. I'd rather be free and be hungry. So I pretty much relate this to the music industry right now, which is, I hope is about to change, because that's where I can actually survive.
Yes.
I'm this world sane. That's how I do it, and that's why I'm doing it. So.
And that's why you're on DreamPath, because we love you, and we could feel that right off the bat. Always, always right.
Things happen for a reason, I think.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. What is you? Do you have a favorite, in a sense? I mean, they must all be favorite songs, but is there something that, is there a song or two that really, you go, oh yeah, that one?
First of all, I want to say you guys put an amazing show. I was very pleased with the way that things have been handled, so I just want to say kudos to you guys
for putting
on the spot all of those independent artists that wouldn't most likely be, you know, kind of ignored or not seen or heard. So thank you so much for inviting me here. I appreciate this.
Our pleasure.
And you've been very, very kind by accommodating, you know, all of those crazy hours that I'm calling in. So just to say about the music, I really see every single piece of music as a diary of the life that I have lived at a certain moment. Either it's from the lyrics that I write or the ad-libs that I sing, every single note or every single word that I wrote is something that I actually have lived. So I want to be able to listen to the CD 10 years from now. Well, we might be listening to music on a different piece of equipment. Who knows? But I want to listen to what I've done 10 years from now and remember exactly what I felt at that particular moment. It's very hard for me to pick a favorite just because every single piece of music means something very deep, you know, a special message that maybe I'm not saying clearly, that it's just right there in between the lines that you have to just listen a little bit more, or I'm trying to understand on a different level.
Thank you, Amethyst, for joining us on DreamPath.
Thank you for having me.
You're a beautiful person, and you have music that communicates to the heart. Thank you for sharing that with us and our listeners. we'll be we'll be hearing you in the future, I'm sure, with more music as we go along, and we'll be listening for that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Good night, Amethyst.
Bye.
Thank you to all our listeners tonight for tuning into Dream Path. Please check out dreampath.info for a listing of our future guests, and you can also listen to the archives on the site. Dennis and I extend our warmest gratitude to Amethyst for sharing her healing journey with the world tonight. Amethyst, we, as per your request, have adopted you as one of our own. Please keep in touch, and if there is anything, we mean anything, that we can contribute, just let us know. We'll be on the air again in 2 weeks' time. Until then, stay connected and in heart. Dream path to Starship Control. Over and out.
Here we are, waving goodbye. Don't cry, come back to me. I feel so empty. You are all I think of, my love. I want this pain to drown in the rain. Far away from you again, in the midnight train, I knew I left my heart opened to sadness. The moon cries into the night, bright.